Now, Dane County and the city of Milwaukee have new mask mandates as the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases grow in Wisconsin. Green Bay is also considering a similar rule to slow the spread of the virus. The number of Wisconsin's new daily COVID-19 cases hit an all-time high, marking the fourth time in a week that the daily case numbers have broken records. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reported more than 960 new cases of the virus today. Our next guest joins us to talk about the increasing number of cases, what the mask mandate could do, and how people can stay safe and social as the outbreak continues. Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back, Rob. Thanks.
Dr. Remington, first of all, looking at the latest numbers and trends here in the state, how are we doing?
Well, what we've learned in this pandemic is that the numbers don't lie, that the number of people being diagnosed with COVID-19 is directly related to the risk behaviors, how many people are coming into contact with infected persons. And the more that happens, whether it's in social gatherings in bars or restaurants or people gathering with friends and family, no matter how it happens, we now are getting to close to 1,000 cases being diagnosed every day. So it's a real evidence-based scientific marker for what the risk behaviors are. And it shows that since March, April, and May, we've now loosened up. People are spending more time with other people. People are practicing less safe habits. And that's just leading to more cases being diagnosed.
From what we know now, what kind of situations would you avoid? What strikes you as the biggest risk of a big spreading event right about now?
Well, I think there are two ends to that spectrum. There's the end where, as Senator Johnson said, mass quarantine, where everybody is staying at home. And we know that's effective. Some countries have used that strategy to basically wipe out transmission. If we in Wisconsin could somehow do that and everybody would stay home for 2 weeks, we would see no cases being reported because they would circulate within family groups and then there'd be no transmission. But we know that's not possible. The other end of the spectrum is if you go to high-risk settings, mass gatherings, places that are indoors, places where people are shouting or screaming or singing, and very close contact, not just 5.5 feet, but being right next to people and crowded, packed in. Those places, I think with 1,000 cases being reported, the prevalence might be in a community up to 5 or 10%, that you have a gathering of 100 people, you can pretty much bet on it that you're going to have somebody who may not be symptomatic, but they may be spreading the virus. And the final thing is, if those places, there are few or no people wearing masks, then you're truly in a high-risk situation.
That brings us to the masks. And I just read a piece by a doctor writing in the Washington Post looking for some silver linings here when it comes to COVID-19. And he found a few. And one was, we know something that works, and that something is masks. If we got more serious about wearing our masks, and now we've got mask mandates in a couple communities in the state, does that really make a difference?
Absolutely. We've been learning as we go. I remember our first conversation in February, mm-hmm. and we talked about, whether the state had the ability to use isolation and quarantine. And as we've gone along, we've learned a lot about this virus, about its pathology and epidemiology. And one thing we've learned is that a mask prevents the virus from coming out of your mouth if you're ill or even if you're infected but not symptomatic. And that's a way to prevent others from getting sick, should you be in the same room or close by. And there's great studies on the effectiveness of that, the type of mask. But most masks, no matter whether they're cloth masks or, disposable masks, prevent a vast majority of the water droplets that potentially could have virus from going into the air. So wearing a mask is a simple an effective strategy to prevent someone who's ill or infected but not symptomatic from getting others sick. And I think we're in the position now with this serious illness that everyone should be wearing masks, when they're indoors or closer than 6 feet to people, because you just don't know. Of those 960 people diagnosed today, I imagine very few of them knew they were going to have a positive test. They may have been suspicious that they engaged in a gathering that they should not have. But most people, I bet, are surprised when that comes back. And now they have to deal with the downstream consequences. For many people, this is going to be a serious illness. Fatality rates among older people as high as 10 or 20%, and potential long-term health effects. So again, even if you feel well, if you're going to be in an indoor environment, or if you're going to be closer than 6 feet to somebody, wear a mask. It's the best thing that you can do to protect the health of others.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, getting the latest on COVID-19, mask use, how we're doing in the state and the nation. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your thoughts. Again, 800-642-1234. Dr. Remington, a concern we see out there is that, you know, we're north of 130,000 people in the U.S. dead from this, and people still not taking it seriously. A story that I assumed actually was a hoax story turned out to be true in San Antonio. A doctor talking about a 30-year-old patient who died at the hospital saying he had thought this was a hoax. He went to a COVID-19 party with somebody who had been tested positive to see if this thing was real. He's dead now. A lot of people treating this thing as a hoax, apparently. Still, how can we get people to take this thing more seriously?
Well, I wish everybody would listen to Central Time and Wisconsin Public Radio, but unfortunately, that's not the case. I think we as a society need to help inform each other about the facts. And if you see somebody on social media putting out some information that's frankly wrong, it's hard to contradict people. It might be better not to do it publicly on Facebook or on a social media platform. But I think it's the best thing that we can do is a phone call to say, you know, that information you put out is frankly not correct. That, you know, the best evidence is that masks don't cause disease. They actually prevent disease from being transmitted. Or that, you know, being 10 feet away outdoors is not a high risk setting, that's actually a low risk setting. Because I think there's wrong information. There's misinformation on both sides. There are people who, when they see people sitting 10 feet apart outdoors, that they're worried that they're going to transmit COVID-19 to each other. And that's simply not the case. That's a very low risk setting.
That's a great point that this isn't just about the don'ts, but the things that we know still are pretty safe to do. Is it important to emphasize the things we can do safely and that this isn't all just about, you know, the sacrifice and the negative?
I think it's a great point. I think that, don't messages, negative messages don't resonate very well, particularly with young people. I think we should be encouraging outdoor activity. I think we should be encouraging social gathering, not just on Zoom and other social media platforms, but outdoors. If you can maintain safe physical distancing or the occasion when you might wear a mask, a gathering outdoors is a safe activity. I think if we're having a recommendation of basically universal quarantine, that people will not accept that. And that's frankly not viable for the economy. It's not necessary for public health. We just have to figure out how to be smart as individuals and as a society about how to define what a low risk social gathering would be, and then how to keep our behaviors in that realm, in the realm of getting together, but wearing masks whenever you're going to be close by to somebody, but preferably maintaining physical distancing. And you can already see it. You see people eating outdoors. You see people gathering in backyards, and tables are larger than they used to be. People are setting their chairs far away. And that, to me, should be promoted. That should be a positive statement. But get together, but do so safely.
We're talking to Dr. Patrick Remington right now, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He's looking at the latest news regarding the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and initiatives in some cities and counties around the state to try to slow the spread of the virus, including a couple of mask mandates, maybe more on the way. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about COVID-19 and the coronavirus that causes it? What do you want to know about masks and how they work? If you're getting cabin fever, what questions do you have about what you can do safely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we continue our conversation about the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic with Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, and with you, if you'd like to join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about the COVID-19 pandemic? What do you want to know about the use of masks? If you're curious about how to see your friends and maintain social physical distancing, is it safe? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Monique is with us in Milwaukee. Monique, hello.
Good afternoon. I just had a question with regards to, more people are wearing masks, and we've been a little bit warmer than usual, and I've been noticing some people are sweating, and I think with the masks on, that makes them sweat a little bit more. Are those droplets from that sweat a concern?
Interesting. Sweat, Dr. Yeah. Remington, does it spread via sweat?
It does not. Those particles come out of your lungs, and they're respiratory particles. Most of them are quite large. They're droplets, and they don't go very far, and that's the benefit of the mask. I did see a review, I think it was either New York Times or Washington Post, where somebody who was exercising reviewed different masks, and they find those neck sort of neck tubes that are quite thin but very easy to breathe through are both effective in preventing the droplets from going out, but more sort of easier for exercise. So I would just go online, and I'm sure you can find information. People are promoting sort of masks that are better for people who are engaging in physical activity. I have seen people who are riding a bike or running, and they're miles away from others and wearing a mask. And although that might make you feel more comfortable, or I should say confident, and it might help you habituate to mask wearing, it's really not necessary. If you are not close to somebody and you can exercise away from people, you do not need a mask. And I think that will help. And so the best thing to do would be to exercise far away from people, and then you do not need a mask.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Amber now in Green Bay. Amber, hello.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about some activity that my sister's family has had and what risk level you would say it's at. So they took a road trip to Yellowstone, and it sounds like they were pretty safe as far as, like, they didn't go out to dinner. They brought food in a cooler. They would maybe stop at a grocery store to pick things up. They kept most of their activities outside and sounds like distance from other people. However, they went on a whitewater rafting trip with probably about 8 other people that we have no idea where they came from or who they've had contact with or anything about them. So they were on a raft for an extended amount of time with probably about 8 other people. Now, it's outdoors, but that's still pretty close proximity. What would you consider the risk for something like that?
Well, it's always hard to say, because risk for an individual either turns out to be they're infected or they're not. But it sounds to me like they were being pretty diligent about avoiding being closer than 6 feet to people. And they've done everything they could. Now, it could be that they just were unlucky and got in a raft with somebody who was putting out a lot of virus. But I think the fact that that's outdoors, that's not a great way to transmit virus. Indoors, close to people, poor ventilation is the high-risk environment. Outdoors, wind-blowing sun, the virus doesn't do well. It immediately dilutes in the air, and so I think that's a low-risk situation. But if you add up a bunch of low-risk situations, then eventually it's going to catch up to you. The other question is, how long has it been since that exposure? Because the typical incubation period is about 5 days. And if it's an entire family and now they're 10 days after that and nobody's ill, I think it makes it even more likely that they were engaged in pretty safe activity. But again, if they have to know if they're going to come in contact with an older person, they could go into their community testing center just to make sure.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Dr. Patrick Remington is with us talking about COVID-19. Before I go back to our callers, that reminds me, there was a hope in the spring that as things warmed up and we got out in the sun, that was going to help slow transmission. But we're seeing Arizona, Texas, Florida, other really warm states where people are inside in air conditioning a lot, presumably. Things are really accelerating in places like that. Exactly the opposite of what we hoped for the summer, Dr. Remington.
Well, that's why this has been frustrating, I think, for people in the information business, is that just when you think you know something about a virus, that viruses tend to be seasonal, tend to peak in the winter and go down in the summer. We hope that would be the case. But what we've learned for COVID-19 is that is not the case. So it could, however, be the case that as we go to winter, what we actually find is it gets worse, that it's bad now. It could get worse as we go indoors. And I think the take-home message that I'm wanting people to hear now is that we are in this for the long run. We had hoped a couple of months ago that it would die down in the summer, things would go back to normal in the fall. We're not talking months now. We're talking years. 99% of people in the state of Wisconsin are susceptible, even with more than 40,000 diagnosed cases. Maybe there's 100,000 people infected. Most people are susceptible. And as long as we have susceptible people gathering in common places, we're going to see transmission. So I think the things we're talking about need to be new normative behaviors, new norms about mask wearing, about social distancing, about taking things outdoors if you can, and avoiding those high-risk situations.
Thanks a lot for your call. Sheila joins us now in Boscobel. Sheila, hi.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering, and thank you for taking my call. What do you about people, if they make it 100% mandatory to wear a mask, what about people like me that can't? I'm claustrophobic. I've tried. I have panic attacks as soon as it gets near my face.
Sheila, well, sorry to hear that. Thanks for the call. Dr. Remington, sorry, go ahead.
I think there are exceptions to most rules and laws, and I would make, obviously, I don't think there are going to be any people out doing mask policing and enforcing this. I think it's important, though, for other people to realize that they're that it's not that you're not wearing a mask because you don't care about them. It's because it's difficult for you to do. You could then avoid places like going shopping indoors or going to other indoor environments and just ask somebody else to do that for you so that you avoid those settings when others might be looking at you and saying, you know, you need to be wearing a mask. So I would, if it's possible, again, stay 6 feet away and stay outdoors and you don't need a mask. But if you're going indoors or you're getting closer than 6 feet, masks are effective. And again, they're not an absolute for everybody. There are people who have exceptions. But I would just avoid those settings where you feel it's necessary.
And that thanks for that call and good luck. That reminds me, Dane County specifically said, okay, yes, mask mandate. No, please don't call the police if you see somebody not wearing a mask. Please don't police them yourselves. And I think that's probably pretty good advice on masks in general, like wear them, but don't feel like you have to be the mask cop in public.
Yeah, many public health laws, one of the challenges is enforcement. How do you possibly police people smoking indoors in restaurants or bars? That was always the concern. If you ban smoking, who's going to police that? It turns out once that becomes a norm, it's pretty much self-policing. People sort of self-police that you're not going to light up a cigarette in a restaurant or a bar now. I think the mask mandate will be self-policed, but she makes a very good point, is that if there are good reasons for you not to wear a mask, then I think there may be people who are going to say something, because it could be that you're making a statement that I don't believe that it's my responsibility to protect your health. And that could make somebody upset. And so I think it's important to avoid those settings where you might otherwise need a mask.
Thanks a lot for all of your calls. Just a minute or so left, Dr. Remington. Leave us with some parting thoughts and advice for our listeners.
Well, I think the good news is that we know things work. We know that wearing a mask reduces the transmission to others very well. It's a very low-cost, safe, effective intervention. And I've come to now have masks pretty much in every car, in my pockets, and I am a universal mask wearer when I'm indoors or closer than 6 feet to others. We've learned about hand hygiene, and that's not, you don't hear that emphasized as much. It turns out we don't see as much transmission from surfaces as we thought we might. And finally, we really know what the high-risk settings are. Of these 960 new cases, I bet when the contact tracers track them down, they will find that they were indoors, that they were close to other people, that they went to a party thinking, you know, just this time once, or maybe everybody here is safe. And so avoid those high-risk situations and do all the things, wear masks and keep socially distant and stay outdoors if you can. We know that that'll work.
Dr. Remington, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us today to give us an update on the COVID-19 pandemic and on statewide health initiatives to combat the spread of the virus.